dog. Nice solid beat. Good morning. Greetings in the name of the Most High. Ha. So as I'm watching New York City go martial law, I was just wondering, like, what do you tell a kid when they say, you know, hey, Dad, you know, there's a family that's awake. They go, hey, Dad, when do we fight back? Like another, you know, unusual, whenever there's an invasion, you know, usually. So a kid's got to ask that question. Hey, Mom, when do we? So what's the plan? What are we going to do? What do you tell your kids? What would you tell them? Well, just hold on, sonny. Because after I get this next paycheck, we'll be good to go. Then I can afford some supplies that will help protect us. But until then, well, you know, that day will never come. That's just kicking the can. You're just lying. You're just fooling yourself there. You're not going to, the way life goes, it's so chaotic that most people's plans fail anyway. Am I right? So what do you tell them or her? Either one. I know that, you know, basically in Hollywood, let's say, they've been, well, you're now seeing the hidden hierarchy coming out. We've been talking about this hierarchy for 20 years. And, you know, like in Hollywood, you have to obey the rank and file, ask permission to move up, bust a move, you know what I mean? In other words, usually, you know, a sacrifice, hurt somebody, do something for somebody, etc., in order to bypass the one that's in front of you so you can move up. Yeah, there's a chain of command, you know, in Satanism. But spiritually, it's Satanism, and politically, it's communism. So they're both synonymous. They both mean the same thing, exactly. You know, a person doesn't have to worship Satan to be worshiping Satan. To worship Satan, you do what you're told by this organization, and you join it. And that is worship of Satan, period. That's all you have to do to be a Satanist. I wonder why people make it like, well, did you say an oath? Did you take a blood oath? Did you sign the contract in blood? You don't have to do any of that. There's no such thing as all this physicality, you know, this materialism involved. I mean, I guess there could be, but really that's just symbolic of the real thing, which is called obedience. You obey your chain of command. And they tell you, look, your life path, so I'm, you know, familiar with Hollywood. I'm familiar with one case where an actor was told that they, you know, they didn't ask permission to be, you know, approved of in Hollywood. You know, they did an indie film, and for that, the punishment was pretty severe, which was quit your acting and then get another assignment. No, you're done. You don't just walk in here and don't ask permission. You get permission for your life. What you should do with your life. All these, you know, celebrities and people that you look at, they're all chosen. You know, they're worked by Hollywood. That's why, you know, I remain myself in the indie world where they hate us. You know, they scorn us. It's amazing in the indie world how many, you know, all the infiltrators, they don't want to be indie. They want to move up. They're not interested in revolution. They want Hollywood to be working. They don't care if they have to write scripts for the Chinese to be edited by the Chinese. They don't care. But they do have to get, you know, usually beginning in, you know, when you're a teenager, you know what the hierarchy is, and you're able to then be guided into your college, you know, into being groomed if you, for whatever. You know what I mean? They develop plans for people. And if you're not supposed to be doing something like pursuing a career in the arts, kind of a joke, a career, they manage all the careers. But I mean, you know, if you're just kind of a wild, you know, a maverick, then the only thing to do with you is to break you. To break you of that idea of doing something on your own. And start, you know, realizing that you contributed to the way the world is, and now you must atone. You must atone, and that means obedience to your masters who have organized the hierarchy in every city on earth. There's a, you know, there are cells everywhere. There's organization everywhere. There's top-down chain of command. And believe me, the people that they have working are there to infiltrate for whatever reason. There to make real the propaganda. Little by little, we will overcome, and it will be the compassion, right compassion, that will then take care of the world rather than a few people hoarding the resources. So they'll get you on one of these themes. Cruelty to humanity, hoarding the resources, white colonialism. You know, all slave traders are white. There's no such thing as black slave trading, et cetera, et cetera. So they'll do all that to make sure you understand the world is already organized. It's already a industry. It's a single industry. It is one industry. No matter what city you go to, no matter where you travel, no matter what you do, they're there. And if they want to get in touch with you, they're already waiting for you by the time you land on the, in your plane. They know who you are. They have you on the screen. They follow you. And sometimes they actually make it known to you that you're, you know, you're being surveilled, watched, or, you know, we know you're here, and we know why you're here. Or we're here to help you. Or don't think you're getting away with anything. We see everything. You're done. There is no move you can make. It's top down. Every person and everyone is ashamed for having sold out to it. But they all did. You can't find, you know, and the opposite of that would be righteousness. No, not, Bible says, there's not one righteous, no, not even one. Because most people have had to tangle with this beast. Most people have fornicated with the whore. They don't like it. They don't want to brag about it. They say, who are you to criticize me? I have to make a living, you know. So they blinked. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that something's going to change their life. They have to make it happen. I suppose this also goes to control, and you're talking about slavery here, so, you know, even worse slavery would be the kind of, you know, they're going after now as systems and control. They go after, you know, the orgasm. Who can have them? Who can't? What can you do sexually? What you're not allowed to do? Yeah, you know, the top down. We need to see what you're doing, so the you won't mind being surveilled. You know, and then we'll have instructions for you. And then on the dark side, it will be who gets to die. Who the assassins are going to go after. Now, I was just watching a show on assassins in South Africa. And my goodness, are there a lot of assassins? $5, you can get rid of any kind of hassle you have with anybody. You know, maybe not $5, but I mean, they do it for money. You drive up, they're milling around the corner. They wait in the corner just like, you know, migrant workers used to wait in the corner. The Mexicans used to wait to go pick the crops, if you remember that. They'd wait on the corner. A truck would come by, put all the migrant workers in the truck, take them to the fields. They pick strawberries, and that's what you end up eating. You know, well, you know, so after a healthy diet of Marxism, the Marxist philosophy, and not tying it into anything spiritual, like spiritual slavery, demonization, Satan, the hierarchy or lowerarchy of Satan and the fallen angels, and all the rest of those powers, without saying anything about that, you're here to be a better person. Because we'll make you a better person, because you'll learn to obey, and you'll learn to put your own personal aspirations to the side and do what you're told. And if we don't want you to be an actor in Hollywood, you're not going to be one. Or an astronaut. You're not going to be one. What you thought that the hierarchy didn't have manage every district in America and has forever? Every district in America. And I'll repeat, from the guy at the 7-Eleven to the White House and all points in between, complete lockdown control of the satanic hierarchy. Of every single job, every single dollar. Every dollar is tracked. Every dollar. Every resource. And human capital is a resource. And they are the ones who determine where the human capital goes to be a worker bee, fill out the paperwork, but don't ask any questions, turn the knob on or off. And what is scorned is a human being that recognizes that they are a human being made by God in God's image and are supposed to find the truth and are supposed to be free and are supposed to have a whole different life than this oppression of being told what to do, where to work, where to get training. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad. They've even agreed to pay for all my training. How many of you have parents have heard that before? When Junior was about to get out of the nest. How many of you heard that? I joined the military. They're taking care of my training. When I come out of there, I'm going to be a jet mechanic. Mm-hmm. Did you ever wonder what that was all about? Is that just an incentive to join because people don't want to join the Army? Well, you're about to have a whole new education on Army recruiting. And by the way, it won't be so nice. And it never has been volunteer. Social pressure has guaranteed the quota. Social pressure is what the communists do in order to get the result that they want. Again, just like in the movie Dr. Strangelove. Your commie has no regard for human life, not even his own. That is correct. It was referred to by Hochul, the brilliant, wonderful woman that runs New York now, as a, what did she call it? A new religion. Oh, Is the R word beginning to seep in? Well, people that are awake would have known about that 20 years ago. Anyway, welcome to your new religion. No to the group The Who. This is not the new prostitution. Say hello to the new boss like the old boss. This is the boss. There is no old or new. And I'm sure The Who band didn't realize who was picking up their liquor tab at the bar. But now they know. Now they know. I was a big fan of The Who before they really became famous with Tommy. Before the Beatles really even hit. Before Jimi Hendrix hit. Back in 1965. The Who had a number of records. I forget the one that I had. But I'm going to look it up for you. 1964. Hey, I'm not too far off. And I was saying 1965. And the thing is, I saw them on television. And what they were known for in 1965, okay? What they were known for was busting their instruments up on stage. I think I saw The Who with Van Morrison on some half-hour TV show with a million commercials. But you get to see them busting their guitars on stage. They eventually quit doing that stupid prank. It's just a bad message to send to someone struggling to get a guitar. And here these guys are just, you know, acting like spoiled brats, breaking their guitars on stage. It's not a good image. But anyway, somebody picked up that guitar, Bill. Many endorsers, but you don't know the endorsers because they didn't decide to publish it for your purview? They had songs like, what do they have back then? I remember smoking dope and going surfing with a friend who had a VW van all tricked out for surfing. And I remember hitching a ride up to Solana Beach, I think, from La Jolla. Man, what a beautiful drive that is. Driving up through Del Mar and Torrey Pines. And oh, boy. People that live out there, you don't know what you got until it's gone. But, you know, getting high and listening to the radio and then getting out in the water surfing, which, you know, would have the effect of immediately, you know, whatever. Well, the weed back then was weak compared to, you know what I mean? It would just wear off when you hit the water. But anyway, bottom line, the memory just popped up. I must have been 15. I didn't drive yet. And I just remember hearing the sounds of, can I buy your magic bus? Down, 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 whatever. And then I started thinking through the years, what the hell they mean by magic bus? It's the same thing the Beatles mean by roll up and join the magical mystery tour. The bus, it's the magic bus. Too much. Can I buy your magic bus? Well, but it'll cost you. What will it cost? Oh. Too much. That's too much. I'm not going to pay that. Oh, you'll eventually pay. It's whether you'll pay due to greed or whether you'll pay due to fear. Now, I'm going to tell you the true secret of Jesus in America. I mean, the secret flaw that most of us have, that you won't have in the end after they get done. If you do survive long enough to be cognizant when they come to bludgeon us all, which happens right after, I guess right after they take Trump down, then they're coming door to door, right? So, well, no one's going to fight back. So, I mean, what? You just have to get used to dying, right? It's absurd. It's like people think someone's coming to rescue them, you know, and best thing to do is just go to the Lord and have strong faith and be led, because it's the same thing, only most people are not led by the Lord in the United States. People that claim to be Christian. And I'll tell you what the big mistake we all make. And I think this mistake is made more so when you're young than when you get older, or when you first meet the Lord and you see the power thereof and you go, oh my God, this is the real deal. The thing that fails and the thing that's needed is we do not have sufficient fear of the Lord in America. Jesus is great. We love Jesus. We love being led by the Lord. We strive to not be sinners. We strive to be as righteous as we can. But we don't really fear the Lord. What does that really mean? Because this would be the only antidote to communism that I can think of. Would be to have the Lord's favor. Because otherwise, you know, communism represents... Yes, they got boots on the ground, but it's primarily a spiritual battle within each person. And people are all giving in. And many of them say they're Christians. Now, why would they do that? Because they make compromises every day against God with no fear of the Lord, no fear of consequences. Oh, you know, Jesus understands, you know. Or they'll pick up a first saved, always saved. Or, you know, I'm doing it again. I'm sinning. The Lord's going to help me to get over it or whatever. But the genuine fear of the Lord, it goes beyond fear, like just being afraid. But being afraid is a good start. But being so afraid, you're trembling and throwing up on yourself. That's the fear I'm talking about. You know? You're pissing down your leg. That's the fear I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real fear now. I'm talking about what happens when you're in the presence of this amazing thing that is responsible for all that you can even begin to comprehend, and 90% of it you can't comprehend because it's just too big, too much, too powerful. But if you could get close to the Lord, and you would tremble and fall down, or you might be sick, or you might not be able to continue your day-to-day routine. Something has definitely changed. You've been shaken to the core. You can't do anything. You're done. Welcome to fear of the Lord. Congratulations. Now, if you can hold that faith. Because I'll tell you why, you know, the judgment's coming. Well, why would the Lord kill you? The rapture is any day now. Well, why would he rapture anybody that doesn't fear him? So not fearing the Lord, accepting Jesus, participating in worship songs, trading tracts, doesn't mean, I mean, it's good, yeah, it's fine, but it isn't, if it's not leading to fear of the Lord, then it's not. It's worthless, it's useless. Fear of the Lord will make you change. Believe me, you'll change your direction. Nothing is so important that you wouldn't say, fuck it, and walk away. You'll walk away from your own family. You walk away from your job. You walk away from it all. You walk into the wilderness. You join the foreign army against the communists. I don't know exactly what you do, but there's nothing you can't do at that point. Because God is everything and we're nothing. You know, we're a leaf barely connected to the tree. One good, strong breath from God and we're gone. You know, that's who you should worry about. I can go on and on about communism and Satanism and all that. We all know what it is. Spiritually, it's Satanism. Politically, it's communism. I mean, is there anyone that doesn't understand that concept? It comes out of Freemasonry, out of the time of the French Revolution, and then, of course, before that, with the Jacobin Society. And, you know, it's basically because it's, you know, spiritually Satanism, that the entire religion of communism is predicated on sacrifice. So you would have war, endless war, abortion, and also traumatization of all citizens worldwide. And of course, depopulation, genocide, and all the rest of it. It's basically a death cult. I don't think I need to explain this anymore. They're very ominous, and if they get power, they're going to just come kill you. That's all. You're going to be dead along with the rest of your family, and you won't even be. There's nothing you can do about it. But they're going to make sure it's painful. Oh, yes. And your other option, and I don't know how you're going to get there, is to, you know, not just say you want to be with the Lord, but I mean, in addition to your yearning for God, your yearning for a solution, your yearning for peace, your yearning for love, your yearning for acceptance, you're learning to heal, yearning to heal. But the other option is fear or awe. Another word, it could be, when I say fear of the Lord, we can further define that by saying awe of the Lord. Awe of the Lord. In the presence of something so powerful that it makes the UFOs laughable. Right? It's not like, oh my God, look at that! It's like, so what? The Most High is everything. That is a tin can. I don't care. You know, with some kind of hybrid in it. I further don't care. I really don't care. Will you save the hybrid? No, I will not fucking save the hybrid. I'll be lucky if I can even save myself or my own family or my friends or my loved ones by saying the right words to inspire them. Because what we have to do, what we must do, we can't just go along saying, well, I've got, you know, I mean, I've done this. I mean, I've just went through a major illness, and then as if that wasn't enough, I had to go through it a second time where I lost my legs. And, you know, I'm sitting in a wheelchair right now. I'd like to be walking. I'm not. So I constantly, you know, question and query myself as, what did I do to get myself into that situation? And the answer that I've come up with is, I think I'm guilty just like everyone else in the United States. I did not fear the Lord enough. I think I feared the Lord more in 2005 than I do now. I think this was just a good reminder of what the hell's really going on. So if you see me becoming more fervent, and if you see more miracles being done around here, It's because the Lord has put me through tremendous pain. He's allowed it anyway. When I say pain, I mean, you know, end of life pain. You know, life or death pain. You know, it's like all or nothing pain. The number of things wrong with me is it's ridiculous. I'm lucky, blessed for every day above ground is really, you know, where I don't stop breathing is kind of a miracle. And in fact, it is a miracle. My being here right now is a miracle. But so I've been, I have more IQ, not less, for the things we're talking about since coming out of the hospital, more incisive views. So I can boil down to an issue. It's not fearing the Lord. It may take a few episodes to get to it, but we're getting to it. That's better than not getting to it. Well, nobody wants to say, well, you've given a lot to charity. You've helped to build this. You've helped to build that. You've done right by the widows and orphans around you, and you've really, you know, tried to make a difference, and you've been a good person, and blah, 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 blah. But it's not enough. So maybe we'll just put you in a hospital bed and make you think about it for a few months. Think about what's wrong. And that doesn't mean to make a show of anything for your friends or to act in any way different. It's a natural instinct that comes over us when we're in the presence of something otherworldly. There's a word that we had from history of religions when I majored in that in college. It was called the numinous. The numinous is wholly other, a wholly other reality here in your midst. It's the only response that you can make is on your face, stat! And tremble, please. And act like, maybe I'm going to die right here. Maybe I can't take it, being in the presence of the Lord. Maybe it's just too much for me. So when I call on the Lord, yeah, he wants to go out. So when I call on the Lord, I say, hey, buddy.
Sun's coming up.
I say, hey, buddy. Is that what I do? Hey, could you help me get over this? I bet some, I got the number 5 horse at the track. I'm baseballing the 6, 7, and 8. And I got the daily double working. Could you help me out, Lord? I got to pay some bills. Okay. See, that sort of thing is a complete insult to everybody. And we all do it. We've all done it. We all ought to just admit it. If it isn't fear of the Lord, it's not the Lord. If the Lord's presence with you doesn't cause you to tremble and shake, then it's not the Lord, obviously. Or you're completely numb to all human experience. Because the right response is it's Moses on the burning bush. It's there is no other way to describe it. But isn't it nice? Let's talk about what's to be busted loose of your routine, to be busted loose of your usual way of thinking, to be busted loose of your concerns and the weight on your shoulders and your worries and your fears. Isn't it nice for once to have the whole thing just squashed and only the Lord there with no definable, guilt trips, nothing making you feel guilty, nothing saying you didn't do enough, nothing saying any of this stuff. It's not that you didn't do enough. It's not, plenty of people do a lot of stuff. I think as people get older, I think we tend to get more complacent or more less impressed with things the Lord does. We kind of take it in stride a little bit. We don't stop everything, stop the presses and go, what? Yeah, this just happened. Where? And then, you know, the right response, which is to be totally interested in that and drop everything else that you're doing. But not because you think you should, a word that's to be scorned for sure in this world, but because you fear the Lord. You awe, Yah. And that's it. You're on your face. All your concerns are out the window. It's you and God. Here we are. And there's no language that can suffice. There's no, Daddy, can I have some popcorn? You know what I mean? There's none of that. There's no words. There's no more attempt at communication, which may be even more of an insult than anything. We, you know, just I pray that everything goes well in Jesus' name. Great, I feel better now. Let's move on. Well, there's nothing really wrong with that. But there has to be the fear of the Lord. The other thing that could build up the fear is to see how the Lord has dealt with others in the Bible. And to understand that you're the same, you're dealing with the same being, you're the same thing. A lot of people try to convince me that the God of the Bible is, you know, he wants human sacrifice, and he's like, there are four lords of the Bible. No, there's only one God. If they got it wrong in the Bible, well, they got it wrong in the Bible. You know, usually the Lord instructs me to the Bible, to various scriptures that really do help me. To see how the Lord dealt with David, for example, when he lied or when there was adultery involved. You know, when I try to find out, well, am I being punished? Did I do something wrong? What would be, you know, well, then there's the other part of life that this goes along with no fear of the Lord. It's that you don't care. You've been beaten down so much, you just don't care. You know, set me up in front of a firing squad, kill me, whatever, let's just get it over with. Well, that's a very depressed person, isn't it? That's a person that's really, really been defeated. And it's really low, like nothing really matters. Well, it's like the Metallica saying, and nothing, the song, and nothing else matters, right? Or some of these songs. I mean, it's been a long time. I don't really follow Metallica, but I mean, they had some nihilistic songs. You know, nihilism is a Gen Z is very keen on nihilism. I think they want nihilism. I think when you don't have fear of the Lord, I think you want to bring destruction onto yourselves, don't we? Don't we want to be put out of misery? Don't we want to be put out of our stupid routine every day? Don't we want to be stopped from this useless endeavor we're doing? Whatever it is. God in all things. When one is true awe of Yah, fear of the Lord, we see God in all things at that point. So if it's getting a job sewing epaulets on, General Lloyd Austin's jacket for, you know, $500 a pop, we know God gave us that job because we had to survive. We needed help. But people that rely on God bringing a financial miracle, the problem with that is they too, or we too, all of us, we become complacent with that. Oh, God will provide. He always does. Okay, I would advise strongly against that kind of attitude. I mean really strongly. And to me, all of what we're talking about goes to the lukewarm church. I will spit the lukewarm out of my mouth, instead of Jesus. You can be hot or you can be cold. I understand that. But this lukewarm thing, I don't understand. America is that lukewarm. That lukewarm church. And that's why America is being taken over, enslaved by communism. And no one, and Sonny Boy, daughter, son, there is no time to fight them. Just do what they tell you. You're captured. It's over. There is not going to be a time to fight back. And even if you did, you might get a few of them, but ultimately they'll get you. So you lost. But the war was lost not this year, not last year. But back when Eisenhower declared, beware the military-industrial complex, that's when the war was lost. That's when the communism was at its height. That's where it was spreading like a wild disease. That's where Satanism, i.e. do what thou wilt, was run amok amongst the elites, among the leaders, and they got this idea of depopulation, of being gods meant to be worshipped, of Elysium. And if we continue, then it will continue. If God favors us more than the lilies of the field, then I wouldn't have to say what I'm saying. So us in this, our current condition, our spiritual condition, not good enough. But you can't merit Jesus. We're all fallen, fall short of the glory of God. I know that. I'm not saying it's a meritocracy, but it does require your soul, your mind, and your heart to be engaged. And we should all want that. And I know people come and say, I've done this, I've done that. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you do charity every single day of your life and, you know, and are just, you know, Jesus Christ on earth. Unless you have the positioning, the reality. See, we have a saying in fiction. A character is not what he says, it's what he does. So oftentimes in the movies, you'll hear someone say something, or in the, used to be in plays as well, a person will say, I am never going to put up with that. And then the next scene, you see them doing just the thing they said they wouldn't do, right? Character is not what they say, it's what they do. And you learn that in, you know, especially playwriting or dramatic writing. You learn that you can use these opposite, like I'll never do that, and then they do that, to, you know, to add impact to your scene, right? Oh, I mean, you know, the commies have their thing. Like, I would never do knee time, and then there's a guy doing knee time. You know, it's like, well, welcome to the jungle. You know, who's next? Who wants to live? Is what they'll say. Who wants to live? It shouldn't matter where we assign you. I mean, this is the yoke of Satanism, or rather communism and socialism. Socialism is just a code word for communism. It doesn't mean there is no separate thing called socialism. It's just a nickname. They use that to get out of the brunt of saying, because they know the C word is very strong. So they use the S word because it's less, you know, less evil or less intimidating. But the point is, the whole thing is intimidating. They tell you what to wear. They tell you where to go. They tell you where to go to fill out the paperwork to get the job. They tell you when to show up at the job. They come and get a kickback from you. This is the way it works. My God, you know, did the Lord ever ask anything like that of you? Was there ever a yoke of slavery like that with God? people that were very talented at what they wanted to do, and then they were told when they were teenagers or in college, that's not the path for you. Here's your path. Go see this mystery person. Go see that mystery person. You do what you're told, and guess what? You're hooked up. How did that? And then you don't dare say a word because they know you won't say a word. They know you won't say a word because they've already been watching you. That's communism. And it's global. And it's already, it owns the earth. It's not creeping in. You're just seeing the political manifestation of it. They're just saying, okay, enough with the game. Too many people are waking up. We have to put the kibosh down. Boom. We got to put the lever down. Boom. We got to put the hammer down. Boom. Teach these people to heal. I wish I had my phone right now. Trish?
You need your phone?
Yeah. I can't. Okay. Yeah, if I have to wheel out of here to go get it, it would take a long time. I just want to show you. You know, I may not be able to use the phone because I don't have my... I'm not hooked up to my gear, but I might be able to use it sonically, just like use this channel. But what I was going to say is that they've already started cracking down in New York. And I believe that a crackdown, when it gets horrific enough, where they start killing people on the street. Okay, let's...
They're already doing that.
Yeah, well, you heard Biden in his speech. He said thousands. Illegals have killed thousands of U.S. citizens. He could care less. You're dealing with a real monster. You're dealing with real evil. As black as night. It is horrific. But it still hasn't really gotten in there yet. It still hasn't. Mommy, when do we fight back? Oh. Just go to school and keep your mouth shut. And son, do what they tell you. Yes. Been fighting this thing since I was a kid. But then again, it's natural for me to fight it. What was I gonna do? I was gonna play a little clip. See if I can play it through this channel. Bum. Bum. Okay.
What are you looking for,
babe? Okay, yeah. No, I'm going to just show the... Letitia James. So now I'm going to get into it. Sorry I wasn't prepared for this, but this idea just hit me. To play this for you, because not everybody's heard it. And, so... That's Letitia James being interrupted. Trump, Trump, Trump.
Today we are making history. Swearing in our first African-American woman chaplain of FDNY.
Okay, so basically that was the firefighters, blasting her and, booing her. And while she was trying to talk, and now that they claim they're going to hunt every one of them down to punish them. So there's no free speech. So New York just lost free speech.
They need to be re-educated.
And they want to send them to re-education classes. So that's classic commie. I mean, that's out of the box commie stuff right there. That's classic. That's, North Korean, that's Chinese, that's right there in your face. So, mommy, When are we going to fight back? Well, you know, you should have fought back a long time ago. Now it's too late. But what you can do is get right with God. But I'm already right with God. And are you terrified? You're afraid of this? Well, then you're not right with God. You know, it comes out one of two ways. It's either fear of the Lord or fear of man. If you fear all the, right? Now, the way I have it linked up in my mind is I fear for the people and for ourselves of the end of, you know, the beginning of a real life and death struggle. Of course, that's okay. I don't think most people will be able to put up with it. But I don't anticipate any kind of violence coming from what they say, right-wing, white extremists, white supremacists is the biggest threat. And so far, I don't see any of them having killed legal citizens, or I haven't seen anything. There hasn't been even a gut, for all I know. There hasn't been anything from, you know, the groups they're talking about. White nationalists, Christian nationalists are dangerous, but they haven't done anything. So the whole point, what you're getting there is, let me break it down in commie lingo. What they're telling you is that people with the wrong think will be killed. Will be killed. And they're naming the group they want to kill. All Christians, all white people, your entire system, all statues, all Thomas Jefferson, all Lincolns, all everything has to go. In order to have diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is, you know, right out of the commie playbook. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Who wouldn't want that? Anyone against that needs to be killed. They'll say they're taking them to COVID camps, which they had built, you know, which they'll be calling something else. They got camps already built and enough for everybody. Don't worry, there's enough for 300 million people, easy. So they will take people to these camps, but will they really? And they will bury them there. They're not going to pay room and board through tax dollars. That's not their nature. Their nature is to take people to death. They're called death camps. And then that's what they are again. In the United States, they're death camps. Why, oh why, Daddy, did you let America become such a shithole? Because, sonny boy, I got distracted. I fell in love with new technologies and music and discos and airplane flights and vacations. And I wanted the good life that they kept sticking to my face every day, showing me the sandals commercials on TV that anybody could go there. Turns out those vacations cost plenty. More than most people can afford. Not fair to dangle it in front of you. What was that? What song was that with it? It's in your face, but you can't have it. It sounded like the Chili Peppers. It's not the Chili Peppers. Is that Mike Patton? Faith No More? Faith No More. There you go. I hate Jesus. You know, it'd be something if people... Well, I'm sorry, but all of rock and roll is dedicated to hating Jesus. So, no. All of rock and roll is dedicated to hating Jesus. Deal with it. Stop trying to get beat around the, you know, get loopholes. It is what it is. They poured money down that gullet. And they got a lot of people strung out on drugs and this and that and everything else. It worked. And then they went to something even more toxic, which was, gangster rap and basically pornographic pop music. All designed to trigger the stupid masses, which get triggered with anything, to getting their yayas out. And once their yayas are out, then the spirits can have their way with you, can't they? Yeah, but if you want to be friends with anyone here, you know, you'll cooperate. We're just trying to have a good time. Oh, I know. There'll be another day where I have to come back this way. And none of you will remember who I am. And none of you will even know your own names. And you'll have to be put down with fire. You'll have to be torched because you're a threat to all women and children and men in the world because you let this, you know, stuff in you and then you rotted from the inside until you became a zombie simply hunting humans to eat. So it's a, you know, yeah, oh, that's my choice. Because on the way to that, I get a fur coat. On the way to that, I get a bigger place to live. On the way to that, I get this. On the way to that, I get that. It eases my burden. Because my mind doesn't go outside the box. Even if the box is a simulation, completely dressed like a movie set. And even though it's fake as fake could be from one end to the other, none of my brothers and sisters on earth can see it. So I get to play. Yay! I can do anything I want. None of it's real. Okay. So that's about all I'm going to do. That's all I can do. I've got to focus on that too. I need awe of Yah. I used to tremble before the Lord, I remember. And we used to really talk a lot about, you know, what was in Scripture and different things. And like if we went to a Starbucks and we talk about all this stuff. Next thing you know, the whole place was a very popular place on the weekend, right? We could completely clear the entire place. Come on, Ben. Come on, Doc.
He says, happy Zephyr anniversary.
Oh, no. That was yesterday.
Was it?
It was March 9th, I believe. Oh, wow, guys. I didn't know. I was trying to fear Yah, and I just forgot all about any kind of accolade or anniversary. Anything to put on the wall or anything to do. The Zephyrport anniversary, it began in 2002, March 9th. Oh, gee, I missed the whole thing. That's a good sign, actually.
2002?
Yeah, 2002 was the official. So we got, folks, we've got 22 years of an obscure, lone voice in the wilderness out in the desert podcast for 22 years. And it's all cataloged pretty much or just stored on Podbean, zephdaniel.podbean.com. And I've been updating that. I might have to jump over there. I don't know where we're going to go, but we're going to leave Spreaker. So, but don't worry, because everything is already archived. I've kept up the archiving at Podbean all this time. So the latest episodes, you can go see over there. And it's pretty easy to deal with Podbean, but as I understand it, I'm not sure that they have, they say they have a live feed.
We're trying to.
Anyway, so we're 22 years, unbroken, except when I was in the hospital. I was very delirious, so I couldn't. As soon as I could get back to you guys, I did. Do you know what I mean? But I just couldn't. Oh, and by all means, all you guys that preach, talk the word, whatever, you take anything I say you want, any clip, anything, if it'll help you, any concept, I own nothing. Okay? The Fear of the Lord sermon would be great. We need more of those. I heard one the other day. I ripped it off but my timing. I mean, I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. What is the failure of Jesus in America? And, of course, it's not Jesus that failed. The communist has a lot of bragging rights now, don't they, folks? They've done a good job. I mean, I've told you, I've seen them take a promising actor on their way up. Because I've launched a couple of them. One was Matt Schultz from Dementia into the Fast and Furious and all that. And I had him first before anybody else. And from that, he took the footage out of that movie and used it to parlay his career. And then there's another one, Azura Sky. And if I ever find an older print of that, God, I just wish I could. I was so destructive. I was so troubled. I mean, I was. God really loved me back in 19, you know, like around the year 2000. And in the 90s, when I didn't know him directly, but I was completely separate. And getting downloads like crazy and sharing them with people. And he loved me in that time. Going up against them. You know, chasing them from one end to the retail store to the other. Remember that Susan Davis thing? Whatever her name was. I can't remember, there's a big battle going on for my soul, and these people are doing everything they could do to reel me in. And, you know, they've got a number of ways of doing it. They get a video on you doing stuff sexually. They make you go gay and then threaten to tell your husband or your wife. They do all kinds of, you know, anything to get your obedience, really, to get your, you know, pledge of allegiance. And you'd be surprised how many scumbags you actually know, you know what I mean, who have your worst interest at heart, who are all around you right now. If you could just do an intel and push a button and say, okay, Lord, who's good and who's bad, I think you'd surprise yourself. I think you'd be very, in fact, I think you'd be shocked at how many people want to do you in. Yes, sir, I think you'd be shocked. That's why when it came time to gloat at Biden and the speech, I got a word from the Lord to stand down and shut the F up. So I did afterwards. Why did I do that? Because, number one, you don't need any more evidence about this guy. Number two, if I gloat about Biden's downfall or any of them, you know, I attract that, I bring that, universal law, God's universal law, that comes back on me. I'm now, even though I didn't do anything, putting myself in the path of judgment. So why would I want to do that? And how many times have I done that? How many times have I put myself in the path of judgment by gloating over someone's downfall, saying, well, the Lord took that one out and took this one out. We'll just take them out. We don't take them out that way. It's one thing to confront But it all depends on your heart. In your heart, are you gloating? God's got this, and he avenged me. And look at them suffer. That sort of thing, big no-no. Don't do it. You can't afford it, believe me. We all want to do it, but you can't do it. That ends the walk right there. That ends. That's the end of your walk with Jesus. Let the dead bury the dead. When you're ready, come on back. Maybe I'll be here, maybe I won't. And with that, I bid you shalom. And we're gonna get this last piece here. And then we'll see you next time.
The idea that perhaps God himself would blur the edges of the written word to shake awake the sleeping to the word that already dwells in them. Hello, love, I remember you from the last configuration. Hello, love, I remember the past. Now it's just a blast, a frequency in a wire. Or has it gone much higher? Hello, love, where is your humanity? Of the station, you might be listening to now.